Good morning and welcome to Calvary Online. We are so thankful that you joined us this morning. And we hope and we pray that you receive the invitation that God has for you. The invitation to love, the invitation to grow with him, and the invitation to walk with him daily.
Lord, we ask you to reveal yourself to us this morning. Feel your presence. We've waited for this day.
We've waited for this day. We're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire.
Good morning, Calvary. Good to have you with us. You might have just joined us. Welcome to Calvary. Great to have you with us on Calvary Online. Now, I want to help you get connected and engage with us here in our church. Maybe you're newer, or your first time with us online, or maybe you haven't even been in our building. We want to just invite you to be a part of us, invite you to connect with us, invite you to grow with us as a church. One of the ways you can do that to kind of get connected is to go to our website, go to calvarywestlake.org. And when you get in there, you'll find some really helpful next step buttons for you to consider. One button I want to draw your attention to is our give button. When you go there, you'll be able to give to the mission and vision of our church. There's a few different ways you can give to Calvary. You can go to online, you can text, you can use our app, or you can even mail in your envelope to our church to be a part of giving generously to the mission of Calvary Community Church here in Westlake. And we just would thank you. And we thank all of you who are already generously giving to our church. Now, a few things I want to mention that are coming up here in the month of September. The first one is our communion is next weekend. You can do this two ways. You can join us here on our campus to do communion as we gather in worship and prayer and hearing God's word together. You can do that, or you can take communion from your home. But you need to be prepared for that. And so take some time to go to the store this week and get a few crackers and some juice to be a part of the communion we're going to do together as a church family next weekend. Next weekend. And so the next thing I want to share with you, really kind of almost two large categories for you to consider about ways to engage with us. The first category is support. These classes that are right in front of you right now are about how to be supported through our church. Maybe you're going through a challenging season in life and you need some support from our church. These classes are going to help you. The first class is called Loving People. This class will teach you how to grow in your ability to love and to be loved in the season you're in. And then the next class is called Grief Share. Maybe you lost a loved one or you know someone who has lost a loved one. This class will help them greatly. And then Conquer series. You may be someone or know someone who is suffering from a pornography addiction. This class is a great next step for you. And then finally, Betrayal and Beyond. If you know someone who has been betrayed sexually by a spouse or a significant other, this class is a powerful resource for that person. Consider these four classes for support for someone you know or for yourself personally. The next kind of category I want to share with you today is ways to connect and grow spiritually at Calvary. First is the Calvary's Discipleship classes, class 201, Discover My Spiritual Maturity. In this class, you'll learn four habits that are essential for your daily life and spiritual growth. And then class 301, Discover My Ministry. You'll learn that God has called us, gifted us, built us to love him, to serve him by serving others. And then class 401, Discover My Mission. We all have a mission in the world, not only in our homes, in our community, but even in the world around us. Maybe somewhere on a mission trip. I'm not sure where God might send you or use you, but God does have a purpose for you. And that class 401 will teach you about that mission and purpose he has. And all those discipleship classes, I have the honor of being a part of the teaching team and would love to help you get engaged in growing here at Calvary through our discipleship classes. The next kind of way you can get connected here is through a small group. Small group is a great way to meet some Christian friends and to develop spiritually in your life, to have community, friends in our community, in our church. And so go ahead and text CONNECT to the number right in front of you and get into a small group. It's about 6 to 12 people that you just get to know, you do life with, you eat with, you celebrate with, you pray with, you study God's word with, and I guarantee God is a part of small groups in our church, and he wants to invite you to be a part of one here as well. Now, I want to just transition our hearts and our minds as we consider the rest of our service as we pray together and worship together. But before we do that, I'm a little early on that. I want to draw our attention to Camp Boost. That we shared this last week where we celebrated Camp Boost coming up. And I want to share a video with you with our pastor, Nate Travis, will be speaking directly to us. Check out this.
Calvary is blessed to have a great facility with a lot of space. And we want to leverage that facility and steward it and serve our elementary students and their families. We're calling it Camp Boost. Camp Boost is an opportunity, whether it be in the morning or the afternoon, whatever this school schedule of this year allows, for parents to drop their kids off to come and enjoy some enrichment activities that will help them continue to grow and develop and nurture, but really have some fun and even be engaged with some peers. Really, we want to give a little boost into the schedules of the parents. We also maybe want to add a little boost into the social lives of these kids, because maybe they need a little something extra. The idea to just get out and play and be around some peers. Calvary offers a safe and secure environment, and we can do that. It could be maybe some PE activities and run around and play some games together out in the field. We're going to read some stories to them and engage in the discussion of those stories. And then finally, we want to offer some schoolwork help. Maybe there's a subject matter that's just a little bit tough, and maybe they just need a little extra attention. We'd love to give a boost into that. We're hoping an environment that may seem cold and distant would actually develop into a warm, loving environment as we sit one-on-one with kids and get to know them and share the love of Jesus just by how we interact with them. In this season, you may be sitting around saying, man, I wish there was a way I could get out more or I could serve God. Camp Boost could be that very opportunity. Camp Boost isn't just for our elementary families. It actually could be for anybody who wants to participate, because we need volunteers to help this happen. And so we would love to have you join us and participate with us and have you serve God by using just gifts and talents that all of us have, and that's to love others and to care for others. And that's an opportunity that Camp Boost can provide for you.
Just to reiterate what Pastor Nate said, we want to encourage you to consider this boost for your family. You can go to the website that we mentioned just a moment ago, calvarywestlake.org/boost, and sign up. It's not too late. I know my wife and I, Lexi, we're planning to send our kids there too, and I'm sure they're going to have a good time. I believe God will work through our current circumstances and through this Camp Boost ministry to bless your family. So I hope you can join us for that. Now, I want to pray for us as we continue our service today and our singing and our worship together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. I am so aware of the fact that you are working in our lives today. That no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the challenges we face, you are moving and teaching and leading in our lives. You're calling some of us to grow up in our faith and to learn how to trust you when things are scary and uncertain. And for some of us, you are inviting us for the first time to trust in you. Father, wherever we are, I know you want to meet us. You want to teach us. You want to love us. And you want to offer, and you do offer, your grace and your mercy to all who will come. So Lord, we today, we want to come to you. We come to you now, and we want that refreshing spirit that we all need in our lives. Be with us today. Lead us today as we sing together, as we worship together, and as we hear from your word, the only word that is truly life, that eternal word of life, the eternal word of your son, Jesus Christ. We pray this time, today, in the name of Jesus, amen.
Let's remember all Christ has done for us. Sing.
See him live. The great I am, a crown of thorns upon his head, the Father's wrath displayed for us. Oh God, we thank you for the cross. Calvary's hill, we cursed your name, and even still, you bore our shame and paid the cost.
Praise his name together. As we continue in our worship, I'd love to just share from scripture and encourage us. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "For in this hope we were saved." Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. You know, so many of these worship songs that we sing stem straight from God's word. And as we continue in Romans 8, we come to this chorus of this next song that we're going to sing, which we'd love for you to join along and sing with us. But we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So would you join us in singing this next song that talks about how God works all things together for his good and for his glory?
I'm the canvas and the clay.
to make all things work together for my future.
Great truth that God formed us at the beginning of time and He knows our name. Maybe this week you felt like your problems are too big, but God sees them and He knows your name this morning.
He knows.
we pray to you in the silence and the quietness of this moment. Thank you that you hear every heartbeat that you have given us. Thank you that you hear and understand our problems and our joys. We just pray that we can know that you formed us before time began. We were in your hands, and we thank you for the hope for the future. We pray all of these things, and we are in your hands this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, Calvary. My name is Stephen Millage, and our scripture reading for today is going to come from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 23. And Jesus says this: "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Stephen. That's Stephen Millage, who serves as our elementary director, so oversees the elementary age ministries here at Calvary, works with Pastor Nate. Those guys are working on Camp Boost together, and I think that's going to be an incredible ministry that Calvary will have this fall, and that'll meet some of the needs that families have today. So as Stephen read that scripture, he read for us what is the text of today's message. If you want to open your Bibles or go on your mobile device to Matthew chapter 7, we're going to continue in the Sermon on the Mount. As you are turning there, this month we have been celebrating what God has done in and through us throughout our Calvary 2020 vision that began back in 2011. We've talked about different areas that God has grown us and stretched us and given us opportunities to represent Jesus. One of those areas that we looked at back then and we thought about in terms of the needs we had as a church was the area of small groups. We believed that as fast as we grew large, we needed to grow small. People needed to have relationships and walk the journey of life together. And so we set out to, in every possible way, to move from being a church with small groups to being a church more of small groups. And that didn't just mean the formal small groups ministry itself, but it meant that in adult ministries and the various age groups of children and students and young adults and even in ministry teams, that there would be this connectivity where people would love one another, they could carry out the one another commands of Scripture together and be in the journey of life in community and not to be alone in their walk with Jesus. One of the things that we set out to do was to take Carolyn Takeda, who was the part-time director of small groups, and bring her to a full-time status to help shepherd this area and to speak into this value. And as her pastoral voice began to speak into those various areas and to expand and deepen our small groups, God has blessed. And I know a lot of you have told me your small groups have meant so much to you throughout this time of dealing with the COVID pandemic. I want you to watch this video that gives you a snapshot, not just of the last year, but it goes back over the last 9 years with images of small groups in various forms, various ages, various sizes, and be reminded that we are a community of believers. Watch this video.
I love seeing those images of the various settings of small groups over the last several years, and we're thankful to God for how he has grown us. And if you are not a part of a small group, or maybe you were at one time and haven't been recently, and perhaps you recognize you need to be in this journey of the Christian life in our world today with others, as Pastor Jeremy said a few moments ago, you can text the word CONNECT to the number on the screen below me, and you'll get information on how you can get connected to a small group so that you can be a part of pouring into other folks' lives as they pour into yours. As I mentioned, we're coming to the conclusion of our 2020 journey together because this is actually the last day of our budget year, our ministry year. And so when we set off on this journey of Calvary 2020, 9 years ago, we knew that August of 2020 would be the time in which we would cross that finish line. And thank God, we thank God for all of the things he's done for us in this. But it also means this is the last weekend for us to give in this 2020 vision, but it's the last weekend to give of this budget year. Tuesday, we begin our new budget year. And we want to end this year strong and go into the next year strong. And so I encourage you to give, as Pastor Jeremy said a few moments ago, to give online, to mail in a gift, and to lean into what God is doing here at Calvary as we transition into this new budget year, this new ministry year ahead of us. Now, if you've paid just a little attention to the news of the last week, we've seen another incident involving law enforcement that stirred up racial tensions. We've seen what were to be peaceful protests turned into looting and violence and burning and even death. We understand the heaviness of COVID-19 continues in our world, and we hear about news in Europe, how it's in a new surge there. And so we step back and we recognize even the economic fallout and how it's impacting individuals as another million people lost their jobs in this last week. And we realize that there is something heavy, not just over our own lives, but our nation and the world. And for many of us, those things that are taking place at the national level have trickled down and are a part of our real lives and our experiences, whether you've been personally touched or perhaps just the heaviness of that overall. And in the middle of all this, people have still been dealing with marriage issues and health issues and financial problems and job issues. And so there's been a layer upon layer. As a matter of fact, one of those things that folks have gone through, of course, is grief. And this weekend, we as a church grieve the loss this side of eternity of Phyllis Markham. Phyllis stepped into the presence of Jesus. She and her husband, Mike, came to Calvary decades ago. And Mike Markham, her husband, was the first care pastor here at Calvary. And if you know Phyllis, you just know how sweet and godly a woman she is. And now as she is with the Lord and with Mike in heaven, we want to be praying for the Markham family. But others, of course, are going through various things like that. And there are times in life we hear words from others that seem to be the worst words we could ever hear. Maybe you've heard some of these words, like, you're fired, there's been an accident, I want a divorce, you're stupid, your mother died, it's cancer. There are so many that we could add to this list of things that when we hear them, we get overwhelmed, and they seem to be the worst words we could ever hear in that moment. Today, I want to continue our look at the Sermon on the Mount as we now look into this text of Scripture in Matthew 7, 13 to 23. We're going to talk about the worst words of Jesus. The worst words of Jesus. And as we look at this passage, we'll see that those who danced around Christ's kingdom throughout their lives, but were never truly in it, will one day hear the worst words of Jesus, I never knew you. I think this text of Scripture we're going to look at is one of the scariest texts of Scripture. If you know Jesus and you know him personally and you know that you are following the genuine Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, then this shouldn't worry you. But there are a lot of people who have danced around Christ's kingdom. They can talk the language. They carry the label. They go about the activities of what it looks like to be a Christian. But in the day of judgment, Jesus is going to look at them and say, I never knew you. Depart from me. And they'll be cast into a Christless eternity separated from God forever. It's no wonder the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. And today I want to challenge you to examine yourself right now where you sit as you're joining us during this live worship service. I want you to just ask the Lord in this moment, just say, Father, have your Holy Spirit bring confirmation in my heart, bring that assurance in my heart that I am your child, that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And Lord, if I'm following the idea of Jesus or the things of his morality, or I'm following something other than the real Jesus, show me that today. As a pastor, I know that when folks gather here with us in this worship center, as we've done in the past and we look forward to doing in the future, or they gather like we did last night on the back patio, I know that folks who join us there and folks who join us online, it's very possible that right now there are folks listening to my voice who believe that everything's okay, they're a Christian, but they haven't truly come to a personal faith in Jesus Christ. And I agonize over the thought that there could be anybody who heard the message from Calvary who would hear one day Jesus say, I never knew you. Let's examine ourselves and see whether we be in the faith. This text of scripture helps us do that. There are three things I think we have to understand so that we can avoid hearing the worst words of Jesus. Three choices we have to make here. They're all related to the very same choice ultimately. The first one is found in verses 13 through 14 of Matthew chapter 7. We have to choose the right path. Choose the right path. Look at verse 13. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and others gathered there on the hillside on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So he's talking about two paths, two roadways, if you will. One is broad, it's full of people. The other, and you enter through this wide gate. The other has a narrow gate, and there aren't a lot of people there. It's not the obvious thing. And he commands us there in verse 13. He says, enter through the narrow gate. That's a command. That's an imperative. And it's in the tense that implies this is a point action at a specific moment in time. The scriptures describe, as Jesus says here, that we are all under condemnation. We're all on this broad path. We've all been on this journey. And if we do nothing, we continue on this broad, wide path that every human being is on. Because we're sinners, we're all on this path to destruction, to hell, to a separation from God forever. Jesus said in John 3, I didn't come to condemn the world, because the world is already condemned. We're already all, because we are sinners and we fall short of the holy God, we're all on that broad path, that wide path. But he commands us to come to this moment in time where we choose to enter the narrow gate and get on the narrow path that is Christ himself. It's a moment in time that we understand we're a sinner, and we put our faith in Jesus as Savior, and he picks us up out of the kingdom of darkness and places us into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his marvelous light that is this narrow path. And it is then our job to call others from the broad path to follow Jesus as well. But again, this is a moment in time, this command, enter this gate. It's a decision we make in a moment, and then it is seen in us as we walk with Jesus. The evidence of that, the proof of that, is seen over the lifetime as we more and more live and love like Jesus in this world. You got to choose the right path. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. The automatic path is the path to destruction. It's not crowded, this path. Few find it, verse 14 says. It's not obvious. It's not obvious. After all, everybody else is on this path that's just heading this direction. And some of them present themselves as good people, and they're trying hard. And it's not obvious. But when you choose the right path, notice that it says the wrong path leads to destruction. But the narrow road, verse 14, leads to life. The right path, it's not the automatic path, it's not the crowded path, it's not the obvious path, but it leads to eternal life. life found in the resurrected Savior. Let me ask you, have you chosen the right path? Are you just drifting through life and you're just there on that broad path that has all of humanity on it? You need to choose the right path and understand you got to make a choice to follow Jesus. And in that moment you choose to follow him, he makes you his child and your life becomes a living testimony and thank you to him for his grace and love in your life. Secondly, you don't only choose the right path, but Jesus says here, you got to recognize the false messengers. Now, why is Jesus talking about this stuff now? Well, he's been sharing with them the values of the kingdom, the priorities of the kingdom of God, how you live out heaven's kingdom here on earth as the followers of Jesus. And he's gone through various things. We've talked about that now. This is message 13 on Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is trying to make sure they understand now, don't just think if you do these things, you're part of my kingdom. If you do these things, you're just going to dance around my kingdom. You got to enter in through the narrow gate. You got to choose the right path. And then you got to be wary and you got to be aware of false messengers. There are people who are on that broad path who are shouting to others on the broad path, follow me, I got the real truth, I got the real Jesus, you follow me. And they've got something that is false and phony. It's something different and distinct. And they're trying to yell to us on the path of following Jesus. We know we're saved by his grace. They're trying to distract us so that we won't live in love like Jesus and walk in obedience to him in such a way that others come to Jesus too. Look what Jesus says about these false prophets. Verse 15, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious, ravenous wolves. But by their fruit you will recognize them. He says this twice. How are you going to know these false prophets, these false messengers? It's going to come out in their lives. You're going to see the fruit of it. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad, unhealthy tree bears bad, unhealthy fruit. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. The reality of what's on the inside will come out in the fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Again, a reference to the destruction, the condemnation, being cast off from the Lord forever. Verse 20, thus, here it is again, by their fruit you will recognize them. You got to choose the right path and you got to recognize the false messengers. I mentioned that the idea that we enter through the gate, we make that choice to go in the narrow gate to follow Jesus, is point action in a specific point in time. In verse 15, when he says, watch out for false prophets, he uses a different tense. It has the idea of a continuous action. You got to keep watching out for false prophets. They'll distract you from living the way God wants you to live as his child. And if you're dancing around the kingdom, but you've never been placed in the kingdom by the grace of God as you expressed your faith in Jesus. If you've just been dancing around the kingdom, those false prophets will distract you from entering through that narrow gate and choosing the right path. Now notice some things about these false messengers. They look like sheep, he says, but they're really ravenous wolves. I've had people say to me, oh, you know, what he says is so good. And I say, well, that doesn't measure up to scripture. Or what she taught in this class, it doesn't measure up to scripture. And I say, but they're just so Christian. They look so good. They look so right. And they've got such a great influence. And people love that person. Wolves are going to look like sheep. They're going to disguise themselves like they're one of us, a part of the flock of God, but they're not. Secondly, they have another agenda. They have another agenda. They are false prophets. The word is pseudo prophets, phony, fake, hollow. They have another agenda. And usually at the root of their agenda is their own greed, their own lust, their own pride and arrogance. And they look like sheep, but they are wolves. They're dangerous. They destroy everything. They destroy everything. They can destroy your Christian testimony, your understanding of who God is, your walk with the Lord, your testimony in the world. If you don't know Christ and you've been dancing around his kingdom, they're happy when you're dancing around his kingdom, but you're not in it. We got to recognize the false messengers, Jesus says. They look like sheep. They have another agenda. They destroy everything, but they can be identified. By their fruit, you'll know them. If you see what they're really all about and you see what they're really producing, you will notice how phony and false they are. We've got to make sure we're not listening to the wrong message from the wrong messengers. We've got to recognize the false messengers. Thirdly, we need to follow the real Jesus. You choose the right path, you recognize the false messengers, so you don't embrace a false gospel, and then you've got to follow the real Jesus. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, it's possible to think you're following Jesus and one day to have him say, no, you're not. It's possible to believe you have a relationship with Jesus and one day Jesus says, nope, I never knew you. Look at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody who claims to be a Christian, that claims to be a follower of Jesus, is actually a Christian, is actually a follower of Jesus. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What's that saying? Well, in both of Peter's letters to the church, he emphasizes that to believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for you, and that nothing can rescue you and save you and give you life eternal other than the person and work of Jesus Christ. To believe that, to put your faith in Jesus, is to be obedient to the will of God. To not believe or to reject that gospel message, that it's all by the grace of God, not by your good works or the good works of me or anybody else, but by the finished work of Jesus Christ that you're saved. To not believe that is disobedience to God and the will of God. Verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform miracles? Lord, we were around all the activity. We did things and we saw things and we were promoting things and we were making the noise. We were flapping around and looking like we were in the kingdom. So doesn't that get us into the kingdom? And then what I believe to be the most serious verse of all scripture, perhaps, one of the greatest warnings from the lips of Jesus. These are the worst words of Jesus. Then Jesus says, I will tell them plainly, there'll be no doubt about it, I never knew you. As a pastor, I don't want anyone who sat under my ministry, who heard me preach the gospel, I don't want anyone to ever hear Jesus say, no, you were just dancing around the kingdom. You were never in it. I never knew you. Away from me, depart from me, you evildoers. See, it's possible to follow a phony Jesus, not the real Jesus. Paul warned the Corinthian church about this when he told them, be careful to listen to what anybody says because they may present to you a different Jesus than we presented. They may share with you a different Holy Spirit than the Holy Spirit God gave you when you came to Christ. They may present to you a different gospel. He says in 2 Corinthians 11:4, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. We've got to follow the real Jesus. Where are we going to learn about the real Jesus? Do we have to go to historians? Do we have to study archaeology? Do we just listen to the voices of preachers and pastors and theologians? No, you go to the Word of God. The Word of God, from the beginning to the end, points to the Savior God sent to redeem mankind to himself. The Old Testament proves and demonstrates that we're fallen before God. Every one of us is a sinner who can't measure up in our own righteousness to who God is. And it points to our need of a Savior. The Savior arrives. Jesus arrives, born in that manger in Bethlehem. And then we have four different camera angles on the life of Jesus. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all looking at the same life and ministry of Jesus under the direction of the Spirit of God, helping us know who Jesus really was and is. And then we understand in the book of Acts how the Church of Jesus Christ began to grow and spread around the world to share the good news of Jesus. Then in the writings of the apostles and the other New Testament writings, we have those who knew Jesus and walked with Jesus telling us then how we live and love like Jesus in the world today. It's in the written word of God that we really get to know the living word of God, the living word, Jesus, God in human flesh. It's in the word of God, not my ideas, not your ideas, not in archaeology or not even just in philosophy. It's in the word of God that we discover who Jesus is. Now that means you got to open God's word. What I say about Jesus, you got to look into God's word and see if that's accurate. One of the things I saw in the middle of July, it was saddening to my heart and just hit my heart heavy. And that is that Bible reading in America has dramatically dropped in 2020. The State of the Bible report produced by the Barna Research Group and the American Bible Society was first reported in 2011. This report that came out in July, a survey of Americans research to find out how often Americans, not just Christians, but Americans read their Bible. And for the first 9 years of this survey, it was always right around 14% of Americans say they read the Bible regularly. They read the Bible regularly. But in this same survey taken a few months into COVID in 2020, we discovered that that's now 9% of Americans, not 14%. After 9 years of about 14%, in the middle of COVID, it dropped to 9% of Americans say they read their Bible regularly. That's disturbing to me. It's disturbing because it is in the Word of God that we learn who Jesus is and we can come to Him as Savior. It's in the Word of God we understand who Jesus is as Lord and we can submit our lives to Him and live in obedience to Him. We can live in love like Jesus. Then I read something most recently about how research is showing that Americans accessing online news, whether it's from the right or the left, that the number of people reading that regularly is going up as the election year continues and we get closer to the presidential election of early November. People are tuning in and reading more about what's going on in politics and they're reading from the right and the left, but we're drifting away from what God has to say in His Word. That's so dangerous. And it's worrisome that those statistics, as best Barna and the American Bible Society understand in their survey, that this is even true of the followers of Jesus Christ. You want to know who the real Jesus is? Open your Bible. Open your Bible. There you will see who Christ is. Not who everybody says He is, not whoever they want Him to be, not whoever you want Him to be, but you'll find the real Jesus. Look what we understand here from what Jesus is saying. People have fallen into believing something other than who Christ really is. You got to follow the real Jesus. He's not an idea. He's not an idea. He's not a philosophical thought. He's not just a moralist. He's not just a good philosopher. He's not just an idea. Someone said this, I came across this quote, don't know who said it. The idea of Jesus is so much easier to follow than the real Jesus because the idea makes far fewer demands on our lives and never asks us to become disciples. When we follow the idea of Jesus, we can live our lives however we want and we can just sprinkle in some of His philosophy and some of His morality and some of His little sayings so that it just sort of accents our lives. You can look on Wikipedia, don't do it as I'm speaking, but you can look on Wikipedia at Christian atheism. This is a philosophy, this is an organized way of thinking that says we follow the morality and the philosophy of Jesus and we find His example to be a great example to follow, but we don't believe He is God. As a matter of fact, we don't believe there is any God, but we believe He's the best man to follow, and so we are Christian atheists. Now they have a formal structured thinking about this. But there are a lot of people in our world who may not understand that formally, but that's basically what they believe. Yet Jesus is so good. I got to latch onto Him, but He has no claim on my life as Lord of my life. He can make no demands on how I live. He's the idea that I've embraced. Got to follow the real Jesus. He's not an idea. Secondly, He's not a force. I don't mean to be an offense to Star Wars fans. You know, may the Force be with you. And I know the great holiday of May 4th. And a lot of people will just jokingly reference the Force in different conversations. But we have, even before Star Wars, thought of Jesus as just sort of this genie in the bottle that's on the shelf or the magic potion that when our lives aren't going so well, then we get really close to Jesus and we really get involved in church and we get Jesus on our lives to get through the hard times. And then when things are fine and the business is doing well and our health is good and we're up and running and things are strong, then what we do is we put the bottle back on the shelf. We just put it back on the shelf. We don't need that Jesus anymore because he's a force I use to get through life, to overpower circumstances and people who are in my way. Got to follow the real Jesus. He's not a force. Thirdly, he's not a political activist. He's not a political activist. If you look at the life of Jesus, here is one who probably could have taken any power position he wanted. After all, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But in his mission was to redeem. He didn't try to get into the power structures of the religious leaders who were like the civic authority of the people of Israel under the Roman Empire. He didn't do anything to try to get into the power structures of the Roman Empire. Because he even said in John 20, when some of his disciples were trying to operate and gain power over the other disciples, just like the world, Jesus said, that's how the world does it. In my kingdom, if you want to be great, you got to be the servant of all. You don't go after power. You show humility and you serve. And you may then gain influence. You may even rise up into positions of leadership and power, but it's because your heart is humble and you serve. You don't see in Scripture political activist Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not inappropriate to be engaged in politics. It's not wrong to be a part of the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, whatever other party. It's not wrong to run for office. It's not wrong to get in office. As a matter of fact, the Scriptures commend those who are involved in civic government, whether they're elected in that position, appointed, or they're born into that position. The Scriptures say we are to honor them because they are the servants of God and they will give honor, they will give account to God for how they serve God by serving the people they lead. It's not wrong to be engaged in those things. But we have to understand that there are a lot of people who are embracing this political Jesus, this political activist Jesus, and that's not the real Jesus. As a matter of fact, when you look around the world, even today, or you go back through the ages, there's an interesting observation I've made as I've been looking at this over the last several months, and that is this. When the church is under persecution, it is at its strongest. When the church is in power, it is at its weakest. What do I mean by that? What do I mean that when the church is under persecution, it's at its strongest? But when it's in power, it's at its weakest. Well, you look at China and places like China and Iran, and you notice that under persecution, actually the gospel's spreading and there is this healthy, vibrant church. The fastest growing churches in the world are in Iran. I don't mean churches in individual, but the church in Iran is one of the fastest growing churches of any nation. The church in China is one of the fastest growing. How can that be? Because they are in their purest form. When persecution comes, all those who've been dancing around the kingdom disappear. But when Christians get into places of power and influence, then all kinds of people get attracted. And all of a sudden, all kinds of people are Christians and using the name of Jesus because it's convenient and it helps their cause and their agenda. So we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful when God gives us positions of leadership and influence, when we get opportunities to lead and to serve in civic settings, because all kinds of people are going to be attracted to that. And that often weakens the church. The persecuted believers, the persecuted church around the world and throughout the ages tends to be the leanest and strongest and most committed group. I believe right now on planet Earth, fewer people in the church of Iran and the church of China will hear Jesus say one day, I never knew you, compared to the number of people who claim to be and identify being a part of the evangelical church in America. We have to be very careful. We're to the point now where it looks like more of us are going to the political resources and the news of politics and then going to the Word of God. And I'm aching as a pastor that so many of us are allowing our political perspective to shape our Jesus rather than our Jesus shaping our political perspective. Is Jesus shaping your political perspective, or is your political perspective shaping your Jesus? See, whether it's philosophical, it's ideas, it's power, it's a potion, it's magic, it's political, it's influence, it's gaining power in the power structures, whatever it is, Satan loves it when we have our own idea of Jesus, not the biblical Jesus, or we have the idea of someone else, even wolves in sheep's clothing, other than the real biblical Jesus who walked on planet Earth, served and ministered and taught, went to the cross for you and for me, died, was buried, conquered the grave so we could have new life in him. He then was, after he was raised from the dead, he was ascended to the Father, and one day he's coming again for you and for me, and right now he is interceding on our behalf before the Father. He is alive and living and will return one day. We need to follow the real Jesus. He's not whatever you want him to be. He's not whatever I want him to be. Years ago, someone picked up at a thrift store an item they thought I would find humorous, and they gave it to me. It's this deluxe action figure Jesus. It's action figure Jesus with glow-in-the-dark hands. Jesus doesn't need glow-in-the-dark hands. But we tend to do that with Jesus. Our world tends to do that with Jesus. Movements that claim to be Christian tend to do that with Jesus, where we put Jesus in a box where he can be what we want him to be. We need to stop looking for the Jesus we want, and we need to follow the Jesus who is. Follow the real Jesus. He's not an idea. He's not a force. He's not a political activist. He's not whatever you want him to be. But he's the only Savior and the King of Kings, and he wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. We believe in our hearts, and we're made right before God as we put our faith in Christ and what he did on the cross, what he did for us in his resurrection, not in our goodness or attempts to be good or in our attempts to be real religious. It's not about dancing around the kingdom. It's about knowing Christ. And when we enter in through the gate of Jesus and we follow the real Jesus, God picks us up in that moment and plants us on that narrow path, plants us in his kingdom now and forever. He takes whatever sins are our past and he forgives us. He takes whatever things we've been trying to do in our own self-righteousness and he forgives us as we follow Jesus. And then we give testimony, and that comes as the testimony that we know Christ. And we do that even through believer baptism, where we get up in front of others and say, I'm a follower of Jesus. I know it and I want the world to know it. Baptism doesn't save us, but it is what comes out. It's part of letting the world know I'm a follower of the real Jesus. I mentioned to you that my heart is so heavy that anyone who has been regularly sitting under the ministry here at Calvary and of the teaching here at Calvary, that anyone would ever end up before Jesus one day and hear those worst words of Jesus, I never knew you. Are you dancing around the kingdom? Are you doing stuff in Jesus' name? Do you say, oh, I've been a Christian since I was a kid, so I'm just a Christian. I'm not Muslim, I'm not Jewish, I'm not Hindu, I'm not this, so I must be Christian. Are you following the idea of Jesus? That Jesus is some sort of force you can use whenever you want, but you can live your life however you want? Are you caught up in this idea of this political Jesus, this idea that somehow will completely transform the world if we can just gain more power? When in reality, the way our neighborhood, our community, our state, our nation, our world will ultimately be changed is through the power of the gospel, changing one life at a time. As someone comes to the Son of God as Savior, then the Spirit of God takes that child of God and transforms them by the Word of God to be a living example of the Son of God who saved them. Are you dancing around the kingdom? If you come to that place where you've humbly said before God, I get it. I don't measure up. I repent of my sin and my self-righteousness. I turn from that and I turn to you. I put my faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. If you've done that, then I pray the Spirit of God just assures your heart right now, because if you've done that, the scriptures say nothing and no one can ever take that away from you, because you've been saved by God himself according to his grace. Jesus will never say to you, if you put your faith in him as personal savior and Lord of your life, he'll never say to you, I never knew you. He'll say, ah, my son, my daughter, enter in to life eternal, into the kingdom of heaven. Are you dancing around the kingdom or are you in it? Those who danced around Christ's kingdom throughout their lives but were never truly in it will one day hear the worst words of Jesus. I never knew you. Choose the right path, recognize the false messengers, and follow the real Jesus. Would you bow your heads right where you are in your living room, if you're outside on the patio, wherever you are, just bow your head and just talk to the Lord. Ask God again, the Holy Spirit again, ask the Holy Spirit to show you whether you've been dancing around the kingdom or you actually know Jesus. Because you put your faith in Christ and Christ alone, and you know he picked you up and put you in that marvelous, glorious kingdom of God. Just ask God to show you. Child of God, I hope the Spirit just reminds you that, as Romans 8 says, nothing can ever remove you from the love of God. Nothing can ever take you off that narrow path and put you back on the broad path. You're saved by his grace now and forever. But maybe you're uncomfortable. You say, wow, I don't like this message, Sean. I'm with you. I don't like this passage that says this. Jesus knows we need this warning, and maybe the Spirit of God is saying to you, you've been dancing around the kingdom. It's time to let Jesus pick you up, redeem you, and put you in his kingdom, make you his child. It's time for you to follow the real Jesus. With your head bowed, your eyes closed, if you know Jesus, he's confirming that in your own heart, the Holy Spirit is, then thank him for the salvation that's yours in Christ. If you're wrestling with this, then just pray this prayer. Just pray this prayer after me. I'll just say it in little snippets. But if you say, I want to be in the kingdom. I don't want to be dancing around the kingdom. I want to know I know the real Jesus. Then just say to God, God, I know I don't measure up to who you are. I know I'm a sinner. Just pray that right in your own heart and mind, right where you are. But I believe you love me. You sent Jesus to die and to be buried and to be raised for me. Just tell him, I know you love me. And I believe you sent Jesus for me. And today, I put my faith in Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Today, I put my faith in Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I turn from my sin and all my attempts to be good on my own, and I turn to Jesus. Just tell him that. According to Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, as you believe in your heart and put your faith in Jesus, you're made right with God. To say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, I pray for each one who right now is hearing the Holy Spirit. Either it's the confirmation of, yes, you're my child. Yes, you have trusted me. Yes, you've entered through the narrow gate. Yes, you follow the real Jesus. I pray you'd confirm that in the hearts of those right now who know you. And then, Lord, those who are unsure, those who are doubting, those who say, no, I've never done that. I've just been caught up in church. I've just been caught up in the motions. May they heed the warning of Jesus. And may today they pray that prayer, just telling you they're a sinner in need of a Savior, and put their faith in Christ and Christ alone. Father, you know how I've prayed this week. You know the heaviness of my heart that anyone would miss what I'm saying. May your Spirit just drive this home, make it clear. We pray that there'd be some great singing in heaven, as the scriptures say, the angels sing when people come to Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior. In Christ's name, amen. Let me say to you, if you have today prayed that prayer with me, You put your faith in Jesus and you're resting in him and him alone. You know that whether you thought you were dancing around the kingdom or not, but you put your faith today, you put a stake in the ground. We want to hear from you. Would you text the word Jesus? Just text the word Jesus to the number on the screen below me. Just the word Jesus. And we'll celebrate with you. We want to walk with you. We want to help you now that you're part of the kingdom, know what it means to walk with Christ in his kingdom, even while you're living in this world. And then if you say, you know what, today I put my faith in Jesus, or I put my faith in Jesus a month ago or a year ago, and you haven't yet publicly told others, the means you can do that is through believer baptism, where you say to the world, I'm a follower of Jesus. And we've got folks lined up and ready to go already to be baptized. We're going to do a safe and healthy baptism 2 weeks from last night, September 12th, Saturday night, in our Saturday night service out on the patio here on the campus. We're going to have a baptismal service. It'll be broadcast online. But if you say, you know what, it's time for me to confess with my mouth who Jesus is in my life, to show the world I'm a follower of Christ, then just text the word baptism to that same number, and we'll walk with you and help you know how to prepare for that and get you ready. My heart's desire is that every person hearing me right now would know that they know Jesus, and they'd never hear the worst words of Jesus. Today you can just come to the altar. Come to the altar in your heart before the Lord. We're going to sing that song, and then we're going to sing one final song that just says amen to all of this. But please text us, email us, call our office this week. Make sure that you reach out to someone so we can walk with you in this journey. Come to the altar.
Sorrows and trade.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was far with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was far with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, 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 oh,
we're going to close out today's service with one more song. All the people said amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope you have a great week. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you go.